Large life lessons about trusting God in adversity can be learned from observing the events recorded in the book of Ruth. And that's our theme today on Chapter and Verse with Mike McIntosh.
You know, until you lay yourself down at the feet of the Lord of the harvest, you're not going to get all the blessings that heaven has for you. If you're a strong-willed person trying to control it all, even if you're a Christian and you are in charge of yourself, and you're in charge of what you watch, what you eat, what you drink, you've never ever let the Lord take control of your life, you'll still be a chapter two person. It's when you lay down at the feet of the Lord of the harvest that heaven can open up and provide everything with all the wealth. This man is the richest man in Bethlehem, that whole area. He can give her anything she had ever wanted or dream of or need of. And so is the Lord of the harvest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can give you everything you have need of. But you must lay down at his feet and humble yourself at his feet.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Both traditional and commercial reasons, the last month of the year is a festival that usually has its center around the recognition of the birth of Jesus. Of course, by the first of the year, the impact and importance of the nativity is far from the minds of most people. But those who are wise will let the message of Christmas remain with them throughout the year. On today's CNV broadcast, we revisit this issue as we listen to a teaching by Mike McIntosh from a short survey of the Book of Ruth. In these studies, we're learning that the fascinating story of Ruth has much to teach us about the preparations that were enacted before the birth of Christ. God ensured the proper presentation of his Messiah in a number of miraculous ways. And the book of Ruth is one of these remarkable avenues of biblical prophecy. In the Acts of Boaz showing great kindness towards Ruth, we find a beautiful picture of Christ extending his mercy towards the church to guarantee our eternal inheritance. Let's open our Bibles now to the book of Ruth as we listen to Mike McIntosh.
I think because of their age difference, and there is an age difference, that he figured he was out of the running. And so he wasn't going to embarrass her or embarrass himself. He stood back. And he was noticing that she had a virtuous heart and attitude. Didn't matter if he's a rich man or poor man, she's just not chasing men or being chased by men. And a younger man. So my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Ladies, I want to ask you this question. I'll put the men on the spot in a minute. Are you a virtuous woman? And does all of San Diego know you're a virtuous woman? Do the men where you work know that you're a virtuous woman? Or do they look at you because you dress provocatively so they'll check you out? Or you act in certain ways? The whole town knows that you're a virtuous woman. The entire town knew that she was a virtuous woman. And that amazed him. And he was so excited that this person he loved was exactly that, a virtuous woman. Now, if you've never read Proverbs chapter 31, but it defines a virtuous woman. It's a beautiful, a king writing to his mother and telling the example, the mother and the king talking, what a virtuous woman is. Now, it is true that I'm a close relative. However, there's a relative closer than I am. This is the second reason that Boaz did not go to her and say, I want to be the Goel. He knew there was another relative that was first in line to redeem her. But you're going to see how wise this man was. He says this, stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative or of a Goel for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. And then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Also he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley, and he laid it on her, and then she went into the city. He gave her 2 weeks worth of food. And sent it back to the mother-in-law. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. And then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out." Sit still. What a great statement for anybody here today that has a restless spirit. Sit still. The term "sit still" is found from Genesis to Ruth many, many times when God talks to the people he's blessing. We can't get these blessings unless we sit still. What did Jesus do on the mountain? He saw 5,000 men plus women and children, probably 15,000 people. He turns to his 12 disciples and say, "How much food do we have?" And they said, "We haven't got anything." The disciples said, "Send this mob away. We need to go eat ourselves." And he said, no. And a little boy walks up with a couple of fish and a few small loaves of bread that was his lunch and said, "Jesus, this is all I have." And he said, "Great." And he took the bread, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples. They went in 12 directions. They fed all 10 or 15,000, and each one came back with a basket full just for themselves. He multiplied it. But he sat them down in companies, the scriptures say, of groups of 50. Before the blessings can be distributed from heaven to you and to me this Christmas, we need to sit still. We need to relax. We need to let the caffeine just get out of us. We need to stop tapping the knee. We've got to quit watching when we're getting out of here. We've got to just sit still and listen to God. Just got to let him talk to you. Because when you sit still, then heaven can say, if you'll notice, the windows are open right now and I want to pour out a blessing that you can't contain. And it's come into your house. If Santa Claus can make it around the world at each specific house meeting all those requests, why can't the Holy Spirit bring you everything you have need? But if you're over here 1 minute and over here the next minute and over here the next minute, well, we're just always on the move. How in the world is he going to get to you? Sit still with a daily devotion. Sit still with a time of prayer. How many hours did you spend in prayer this week? How many hours sitting reading the word did you put in this week? How many times is just telling him you love him this week? You see, sit still. Just sit still. That's all she has to do, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Good old Naomi, boy, she knows men. Don't talk to him until after he's had some wine and he's eaten. Don't bother him at all until he's relaxed and ready to go to sleep. Just sit still, he's going to be taken care of. This man is so in love with you, he'll do whatever it takes before the end of the day. Now finally, chapter 4. Boaz went up to the gate and he sat down. And behold, the Goel, the kinsman, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken, came by. Now how did Boaz know what time of day that guy walked by the city gates? I bet you he called everybody, talked to everybody. Tell me the lifestyle of this guy and his patterns. I'm going to be right in his path. He's waiting for him. But also God's providence is here, that he brings these two people together to bless them. And he brings the man along. Boaz said to him, "Come aside, friend." Good businessman, isn't he? He's in the right place at the right time, using the right words. "Friend, sit down here." So he came and he sat down. And he took 10 men out of the elders of the city, and he said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. There's four times sitting down in three verses. So they all sat down. He's got 10 witnesses. He said to his close relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you." And the man said, "I'll redeem it." Boaz hooked the guy on his game plan, but probably went, "Oh, bummer. That means he's going to get Ruth." And I thought to inform you about this, he said. So Boaz said, on the day, now he's got the hook in, the guy says, "I want it." So all the witnesses here, okay, Boaz isn't getting it. He wants it. But Boaz has a little card up his sleeve, and he lays that trump card. And Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance." Ah, the kinsman redeemer. That's right. I'd have to take... She was married to Elimelech's son, Mahlon. Chilion, one of those brothers from South Los Angeles. That's right. Oh my goodness, if I take her, she is a heathen. She's from Moab. And then if I have kids by her and I die, then she's going to get all the inheritance from my family, and Elimelech's family is going to get my whole family's inheritance. That doesn't sound like a good deal to me. He said, to the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own reputation. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Yahoo! All right. Sorry, you can't redeem it. Before we move on and finish here, notice that he wants to protect his reputation and his name. There's a lot of people that don't care about their reputation or their name. This guy said, I got to protect my reputation and my name here. It'll ruin my own inheritance, so you redeem it. I don't want to ruin my inheritance. But isn't it interesting? We never hear of this man again. The guy that couldn't see God in the picture, but he saw business in the picture. And then there's the guy that had all the business money and everything, but he saw God first. This guy goes on till this day, I'm speaking about his name, Mr. Boaz, Mr. B. The other guy, we don't know his name, never heard of him again. And it isn't interesting, as Elimelech starts to fade out, leaving Bethlehem with his great reputation and almost loses it all because he dies in Moab, his name rings through centuries because he was such a godly man. And isn't it interesting that beautiful Ruth, pleasant Ruth, friendly Ruth, who was from Moab, is in the lineage of Jesus Christ, and her name goes on for eternity. But her sister Orpah, who decided to stay and go the other way, is never heard about again. That's just what your life is going to be. If you'll go after the things of God, your life will go on forever. But you turn from the Lord and his word, nobody will ever hear of you or think of you again in all of eternity. You won't even be a memory. You'll have existed. That's it. So here this man says, you take it. So this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and he gave it to the other, and this was the confirmation of Israel. So we're standing there and say, okay, it's a deal. I take off my shoe and I hand it to you. This is where the old saying comes from, that deal really stinks. Right there, I'm sure that's, sure that's it. This was the custom. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders of all of his people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, now the thing is, he buys it all from the hand of Naomi. She had right over it, but for some reason, she was in bondage to it. It was all mortgaged out. The land, the real estate, whatever it was, she couldn't have. She was still poor. And that's a picture of you and me. We have the potential of being great people. But because of sin, we're trapped. We're all mortgaged out. We're in bondage. And there's nobody to release us. Now, God couldn't send an angel to redeem us. But the Bible does say that the angels look in wonder at the plan of salvation that God would send his son to die for us. God says that he was made a little lower than the angels because had he just been an angel coming down, he couldn't redeem you. You see, to be the kinsman redeemer, to be your Goel, to pay the price for you like Boaz paid for Ruth, he had to be next of kin. So he had to be born of a virgin. He had to be in a human body, Jesus, the Son of Man. But yet he had to be related to God, Jesus, the Son of God, so that he could come with all the wealth of heaven down to this earth to redeem you from the flesh and the destruction of this world. That's who he is. He is your Goel, your kinsman redeemer. He is your brother because he came from the human race, but yet he is God incarnate and he destroyed the devil. You see, God was thinking so far out in the Garden of Eden that when the devil thought that he got Adam and Eve with that apple or whatever the fruit was, he thought he had it all. But God had already in his word said in the book of Leviticus, which is so boring, the devil says, who wants to read the book of Leviticus? That's why I taught it to you verse by verse, because it's not boring. Hidden in the book of Leviticus is if a man should die and his wife is in bondage or in debt, the next of kin can pay off the debt, release her from that, and carry on the family name. Jesus, with his sinless blood shed on the cross for you, has paid your debt. The devil can never have you for eternity. He's your Goel. He's your next of kin. Merry Christmas. Well, Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I've acquired it. Perpetuate the name of the dead through this inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren from this position at the gate. You are witnesses this day. All the people who are at the gate, and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, and may you prosper in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Merry Christmas again. He refers the blessings on her as Rachel and Leah, the two daughters of Laban that ends up being a blessing in the Old Testament. They built the house of Israel. The children of Israel came out of Jacob's relationship with those two women. There's the blessing upon her. May you prosper in Ephratah. Isn't it interesting that Sarah's bones, Abraham's loved one, his beautiful wife, was buried in Ephratah? And Ephratah means be fruitful. Isn't it interesting that this life, this family, these people will prosper like all the blessings God gave previously to the forefathers of Israel, and they bring in Bethlehem and Ephratah. May the blessings and fruitfulness come from Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. And King David is coming through the fruitfulness of this marriage. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Now, Perez, the story of Perez is found in Genesis, but we know that the mother, Tamar, was not a good woman, but yet she's found in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You may not be a good man or a good woman today, but you can still be found in heaven if you'll lay down at the feet of the Lord of the harvest and surrender to him. He forgives, and he forgets, and he takes you by the hand, and he exalts. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. The women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a Goel, and may his name be famous in Israel. You see, this little baby is now the Goel for her. She lost everything, but the women now give her blessing and say, may he be your Goel, and may his name be famous in all of Israel, and it's going to be. And may he be to you a restorer of life, a nourisher of old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. And this is a true statement. Any of you have grandkids. Grandchildren give you a restorer of youth again. Because you remember what it was like when you were young in your 20s, having your babies. And now you hold your baby's babies. And it's kind of a cool deal. All the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Without King David and his throne, there'd be no Jesus. This is Christmas with Ruth. You don't see what's three generations away from you, but God may tarry. I hope he doesn't. Don't waste your life. Obed brought Jesse. Jesse brought David. This is the genealogy of Perez. Begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Solomon. Solomon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. Now please stand and turn to Luke chapter 2. And let's read out loud together verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with his Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now maybe for some of you, you never knew there was a connection with Bethlehem. The angels cry out, holy, holy, holy. The people worship and praise him. The wise men come to him. And when you stop and think that without Ruth there'd be no Christmas, without her being a virtuous woman, having a good name, being pure sexually, being meek and humble, being a servant to her mother-in-law, the whole town knowing what quality of a lady she was. She wasn't born believing in Jehovah God. She saw it from her husband's relationship with God. She turned towards God, which husbands mean you and I have a great responsibility. She saw her father-in-law's love for God, and that drew her closer to God, so that when they both died, she knew that she wanted to be with the mother-in-law that these two men loved so much as mother and as wife. You see, Bethlehem is a beautiful place, very, very small. And Joseph is led with Mary, winding the 70 miles down to Jerusalem from Nazareth, going the 2.5 miles further south to little Bethlehem, knocking on the door of the inn, and they're saying, there's no room here. But when you go back to Ruth, you realize the richest man of the neighborhood, he might have actually built that hotel in his day, Mr. Boaz. He owned the property on or around that hotel at one time. But Israel had become so down because now it's not the Philistines that we've been studying like last night in Samuel. It's the Romans. It's another oppressive group that has them in bondage. So they live as chapter 2 people, just picking up the pieces and living on the scraps of this world. Instead of remembering chapter 3, where the heavens were opened and the marriage took place and everything was given to them. Whatever the oppression is in your life this Christmas, whatever the bondage is in your life this Christmas, let it go this instant and be free. Because this was planned before the foundations of the world. This is why this book isn't read in schools. This is why these stories aren't told, because if you follow the whole story, you realize God is so brilliant. He had a plan all the way. And had Ruth not been part of the plan and never made it all the way, then you and I wouldn't be here today. And Christmas would not be an issue among the politicians and the politically correct, weak-spined people that can't stand for truth. Jesus Christ is the Son of God Almighty, and He loves you. And He came as a baby, not to just sell Christmas trees and tinsel. He lived a life as virtuous and sinless and pure to set an example that what you can live in His Spirit. And He took all of your sins and all of your crimes against the kingdom and placed them upon Himself, and had nails piercing His hands, a spear jammed in His side, nails piercing His feet, back ripped open with a whipping, crown of thorns placed on His head, blood running down His face, His beard plucked out of His flesh, a rod beating Him so that His visage was so marred more than any man, the prophet Isaiah said. And that was the fruit of sin. And yet, He had never ever said a dirty word. He had never cursed or been uptight in the flesh and was sinless. But the Bible says, He who knew no sin became sin for you. That's your Christmas present. He became your fornication, your murder, your lie, your drugs, your alcohol, your bitterness, your anger, your disrespect. He became everything that is supposed to kill you so that you could be made free. Has anybody ever given you a Christmas present like that? It's yours on a daily basis. Father God, this morning, we pray that You will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on these men and women and boys and girls. We pray for them, Lord, that they will see what a Redeemer You are, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the next of kin, that You are our Goel. And we thank You for Your brilliance, for Your tremendous thinking patterns, Lord, that planned this out from the beginning of time, that You would have somebody come and redeem us. And so we say together, happy birthday, Jesus. Thank You for all You've given and all You do for us. In Your name we pray. Amen.
That's Mike McIntosh with a reminder that the Christmas story should not be isolated to the holiday season. We found great depth and richness from our review of the message, Christmas with Ruth. The truths we find here should be refreshed in our minds throughout the year. Are you certain that you've allowed God to provide His forgiveness for your sins? If what Pastor Mike has taught today has caused you to realize that you need to take some firm steps to be sure of your relationship with God, let me invite you to check in at MikeMacintosh.com. Once you're on the homepage, look for the Know God link, where you'll find the simplicity of the gospel clearly explained. There's also a section about getting a fresh start with God, along with suggestions for further study. This is also the website that you can use to listen to nearly the entire Bible taught by Pastor Mike. Again, check in at MikeMacintosh.com. Join us next time as we continue our studies through the Bible as we return to the Gospel of John. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.